We are Hits 96, Chattanooga's number one hit music station, and I have a very special guest joining me on the phone line. Big things happening for my special guest for 2022. She's a stand-up comedian, an actress, and now an author. I'd like to welcome Angela Johnson Reyes to the show. Angela, oh my goodness, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Of course. You have a lot going on. You're going to be a busy woman this next coming year or so, huh?
Definitely. I mean, it's I need a nap just looking at my schedule. That's what's happening here.
It's spectacular, though, and it's all good things. You have your first book coming out, Who Do I Think I Am? A little bit of a memoir. Available for pre-order now, and that's going to drop on March 15th. Super exciting. And that's coinciding with your kickoff of a 60-city stand-up comedy tour, also by the title of Who Do I Think I Am? And that's kicking off at the end of this month in Los Angeles. And in fact, you'll be in the Chattanooga area this fall, and we're super excited about that. And we'll get into that. But we figured we'd start off with the book. How about that?
Okay. Yeah.
So the title, Who Do I Think I Am? Now, that title can be taken in numerous different ways. So I'm going to kind of let you take the lead here. Who do you think you are, Angela, to write a book?
Exactly. That's exactly what it is. So it's Who Do I Think I Am is layered. It's like stories of self-identity, growing up Mexican and American, but my last name is Johnson and I don't speak Spanish. So what even is that? Like trying to be more Mexican than I felt that I actually was. So it was like stories of self-identity. Who am I? But also, who do I think I am to have the audacity to dream such big dreams and then go for these dreams? So it's stories of me going for my dreams, arriving in Hollywood, crazy things that happen when I get here, how I ended up at Michael Jackson's house somehow, like a bunch of random stuff, dating stories, how I met my husband. It's my memoir. It's I share my life in my stand-up comedy, and I've done that for years, but sometimes there are stories that have so many good details, and in stand-up, we do this thing where we call it cut the fat, which means you want to get to your punchline as quick as possible, so you take out all the details and get to the punchline, but there are some stories where all these details are so good and so juicy, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to write that in a book one day, and so I had this document on my computer that I was like, let me just write this in a book for like 10 years. I put all these stories in. And then finally, after COVID quarantine, I was like, you know what? I think it's time to write my book. And that's kind of how it happened.
Kind of took that as the time, the sign from God, as they say.
Exactly.
I was going to ask you if there was always a plan to do that. Apparently, that was at some point in your career, you were looking to write a book. So it kind of was a pre-planned thing.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I've been holding on to these stories, and I'm so excited for people to finally read them. Excited and nervous, because I had a moment where I was like, oh, my God, people are going to know a lot about me when this book comes out.
Right. Difference of opinions might come away, come away from it all.
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely. You think you know Angela Johnson, but now she's Angela Johnson Reyes. So
things have changed, and here we go. We're going to dive right in.
Exactly.
Now, in the beginning of your career, you were actually a professional cheerleader for the Oakland Raiders. You were actually able to perform in the Super Bowl and all that. Do you touch on that at all?
I did. In my first hour, I talked on my cheerleading experiences in my first hour special. And I definitely go in more in depth of like why I even tried out to be an Oakland Raiders cheerleader and what led up to all that and all the kismet things where the stars align and you show up and you're like, whoa, this path was definitely laid out for me. It's really cool that I get to share the behind the scenes of how all of that worked out.
Yeah, sounds fascinating. I can't wait. And I've done a little bit of research, of course, learning about you and all. And for those of us that may not know, you kind of started off as a little bit of an internet sensation. It was right when kind of YouTube was becoming the thing. And you have a very, very famous stand-up bit called The Nail Salon.
Yeah, so The Nail Salon blew up my spot. I had no idea that was going to happen. And it was right around the time when YouTube was brand new. So it was like perfect opportunity of this really funny joke that was very relatable to so many people. And then this brand new thing called YouTube that was like, if you got an email from someone and there was a video in it, you definitely watched it.
Right.
Because you're like, what, a video in an email? What's this? It was like a brand new thing. And then now if somebody sends you a video, it's like, wait, how many commercials do I have to sit through before I watch this video?
Exactly. And that was like 15 years ago, give or take, right? When it comes down to it. And that was really the beginning, from what I've read about you, that was kind of the beginning of this whole stand-up career. And it kind of all just happened, I don't want to say overnight, but when you become a viral sensation, right when things are becoming viral sensations, it kind of hits you really fast.
Oh, it moved so quickly. I remember, and this is back in MySpace days. Mm-hmm. So it was like I had a MySpace page, and I remember going, and I had like thousands of messages from people all over the world like, hey, when are you coming to Australia? When are you coming to the Philippines? And at that time, I only had like 12 minutes of stand-up comedy that I had written. So I was like, oh my God, like what is happening? I better hurry up and write some more jokes because people want to hear from me. And so it really blew up my spot very quickly.
And it is very relatable, the bit, of course. You do a little bit of impression. I know that you're known for your characters. We'll talk about Mad TV in just a second, too, because I know that in that same year, you became a cast member for them. And that was just a really fascinating career that you've had. Do you think, Angela, now, looking back, let's just, for example, say, and I know, and I talked to a comedian, Tommy Davidson, not too long ago, and he was talking about how people are a little more sensitive nowadays to where they were back when. And I'm sure you can agree to that.
Oh, of course.
You know, it seems to be the case.
Nowadays, yeah.
Do you think the nail salon video, and as funny as it is, and I know it was never mean-spirited and everything was so great about it, it really is just one of those things. Do you think it would have been taken the same way, say you released it today?
Absolutely not.
Right.
No way. There's no way. It probably would have went viral for a different reason.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's a totally different time now, which is unfortunate for comedy. Mm-hmm. I feel like comedy has always been the outlet of a safe space where you say what you want to say. And to me, comedians, what we do is we hold up a mirror to society. We show you what we see. That's all we're doing is holding up a mirror. And if you get upset at what you see, then that's something that you need to deal with. But now it has become, let's persecute the person holding the mirror, showing us what is happening in real life. And it's unfortunate, but I wake up every day and I remind myself, like, I have this gift to make people laugh and bring people joy. So as long as what I'm saying is something that I can sleep at night, my conscience is clear, then I'm okay saying it. And I'm going to keep doing that. Because the second I start catering to people who may or may not be offended, then that's when you just stay silent because you will always offend somebody.
Right. No, I completely agree. I was just curious on what your take would be on that because I know, like I said, it went so huge. It still gets millions of views. I mean, it's just one of those, and I think it is because it's so relatable and so funny, and people can definitely share in the experience that you've had at a nail salon. So I was kind of interested to hear your take on that. And it obviously led to giant things for you, but I also wanted to note that I read, which I found so crazy, you didn't make a single penny off of that video, mm-hmm. even though it went so viral.
People think I got millions off of that video. I got not one penny from that video because it was a different company who paid me $25 to come and do my stand-up comedy set this one night at a club. And they were like, all right, we're going to upload this video. This is back when flip phones were happening. He's like, we're going to upload it to flip phones and people can download a comedy clip on their phone for $1.99. And so that's what it was for. And then all of a sudden YouTube came out. So like, oh, we'll just put all these videos on YouTube. So they owned the video and they paid me $25, which I needed at the time. I was like, yes, thank you. I need groceries and gas. I'll take it, $25, because I'm a struggling actor and comedian trying to make it happen. But then they're the ones who ended up, you know, getting all the money from any views that was earned.
Right. Yeah. So you get the,
I earned a long-lasting career.
Exactly.
With amazing fans who have been coming and supporting me year after year. Every time I go out there, these shows are fire energy, sold out. I'm so, so lucky.
Do you ever get sick of people asking for the nail salon bit?
You know what? I'm honored. Like, yeah. I'm honored that people still love it and still want to hear from me. And sure, I get tired, like, doing it. I'm like, oh, I got to work myself up. Like, here we go.
Yeah.
All right. You know? And, like, you kind of just, it's so funny because that's the one joke that I get nervous that I'm going to mess up. Like, throughout my whole set, I'm fine. I'm just talking to have a good time. As soon as I start that joke, it's like, oh my God, don't mess this up. Like, everyone knows every word. So if you get it wrong, they will know.
Right. The big grand finale. This is what we're all waiting for.
Exactly.
And it has opened so many doors for you, as you mentioned. And I do want to touch on just a little bit, joining the cast of Mad TV, a series regular. That must have been an incredible experience. What do you prefer when it comes down to it? Are you still more stand-up compared to skit, or do you like them both, or what's the deal there?
I love acting. It's so fun. I love them both for different reasons. Like walking onto the set of a TV show or a movie, it's like, wow, we're making magic right now. Like we grew up watching TV shows and movies, and I get to be a part of that. Like that's amazing. But then also there's no feeling like being on stage, sharing a joke that you wrote and hearing the audience laugh and feeling the vibration of their laughter. Like there's nothing like that.
Very cool. And you have numerous specials on Netflix, too, that people can check out. And, I mean, you're everywhere. You do your own due diligence trying to get out there and visits on podcasts and things like that. And we're always looking forward to what you're going to do next. And now to go out on your own stand-up comedy tour, 60 cities. You're going to be in the Tennessee area in September. In October, you'll be in Atlanta. And right here in Chattanooga, we're smack dab in the middle of it all. So we always have people going off to Nashville or Atlanta for us. But you'll be here in Chattanooga, actually, and we're hoping to have you come stop by the radio studio in September. You're going to be at the Walker Theater. What can we expect from this tour?
Well, this tour, I'm talking a lot about my life after COVID. And one of the big things that happened for me is, you know, I'm a California girl my whole life, born and raised. But halfway through the quarantine, my husband and I decided that we were going to move to Nashville, Tennessee. And so being a California girl living in the South, I have had a lot to learn. It's, you know, even just very simple things. Like here in California, if you go to a store and you walk in and they're like, can I help you find anything? And you're like, no, I'm good. And then if you're feeling real friendly that day, you go, no, I'm good, thanks. Like, that's it.
That's it.
The end of the correspondence. That's done. Then I'm in Nashville. I go to TJ Maxx, and I hear the ladies in the row next to me, and one of them's like, can I help you find anything? She's like, no, I'm good, but thank you so much for asking. Oh, it's my pleasure. It's a beautiful day outside. It really is, but it's going to rain later. About 3 o'clock, they say it's going to rain, so make sure you get home by then. And I was like, ooh, I don't know if I'm going to make it here. I don't have enough energy for strangers. I don't know how to do this.
I completely agree with you. You may know by my accent, I'm actually from New England. I just moved down to Chattanooga this past summer. So I'm brand new to the station.
Welcome.
I'm brand new to the area as well. And that is one thing that I've talked about numerous times on the radio here, and I've been calling it Tennessee Nice. It seems to be Southern hospitality almost can make you feel uncomfortable if you're not used to it.
It's really, you got to adjust. You got to adjust. You're like, ooh, do I say more words? When do we stop saying words? I don't know how.
I'm from New Hampshire, right outside of course, Boston, too, with Massachusetts. And, I mean, you're lucky if you get somebody to look at you when you walk into the store, let alone say all of that. So I completely relate to that. That is very funny. Excellent. I'm talking to Angela Johnson-Reyes. She's going to be at the Chattanooga Walker Theater coming up in September. You can get her book. It's going to be available for pre-order, and it drops on March 15th. It's called Who Do I Think I Am? Angela, thank you so much for the time. This has been a lot of fun talking, and we do have something hopefully in the works. We're going to be giving away some tickets to your show coming up in September, and we're hoping that you'll be able to stop by the studio and say hello, and we can talk again.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you. I wish you the best of luck with everything, and I will make sure to pick up a copy of Who Do I Think I Am? Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.